For the past 20 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been dedicated to giving you the best content. From a diverse mixture of music and spoken word programs to art reviews and current news affairs. What started out as a music club is now a campus community radio station. So in this spirit, we would like to show our gratitude to all those who have been a source of inspiration and positivity which has made these 20 years colorful, fun, and full of success. CJSF. Diverse. Independent. Yours.
Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
We used to be. Mork and Mindy is back.
Well, I don't
no
know.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Why was I at the club at 2 a.m.? I should have been watching Mork and Mindy.
That's why we're bumped off now.
But was it the good Mork and Mindy, or like in the end when they had like Jonathan Winters as their kid? They were just reaching for straws.
Yeah, at that point, they jumped the shark big time then.
Right. Don't get me wrong. Jonathan Winters is awesome, but just a bad premise. Just not a good premise. But yeah, you're right. We're probably second to that.
But it was Private Benjamin. He starts older, gets younger. It was
good. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Private
Benjamin's the one with Goldie Hawn.
What's the movie I'm thinking of?
I have no idea.
Private Ryan?
No.
Benjamin Button.
There you go.
Well, that's exactly the same as that. Of course.
Oh, Lord.
As you can tell, folks, we've been drinking before the show.
We'll get him a job working for AMC any day now. Yeah, we're just waiting for them to call. George Clooney's dad isn't going to have that job much longer now, is he? Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
Well, it should be a pleasure, right?
Yes, it is a pleasure.
We tortured him today.
Oh, Lord. Made Man Maury.
Good morning. Excited to be here in the damn dank basement. Thank God Brent actually put something over his lower body today.
Yeah, he's wearing pants. Well,
No, I never wear pants.
It's more like a loincloth.
Like magic underwear. Good old boy, Justin.
Good morning. So glad to be out of the sun and into the dank, dark basement. My happy place.
Absolutely. And good old boy, Harm.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate being here today. I'm not
You're
just saying that.
You're a complete bastard. We'll hate you.
That sounds
Might as well
right.
get it started. Yeah.
I'm a little bit of a masochist, apparently.
Anyway, well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, pretty much anything else that you can drink. And today's a whiskey episode, and here's the whiskeys we're going to be discussing. We have the Singleton of Glendowan, 12-year-old single malt scotch whiskey. We have Glenmorangie's A Tale of the Forest single malt whiskey. We have Glenfiddich 12-year sherry cask finish single malt whiskey. From Dalmore, we have their 14-year single malt. We have the Dalmore Portwood. The Dalmore Cigar Malt, the Dalmore King Alexander III, and from Lagavulin, we have the Lagavulin Nick Offerman 3rd Edition Charred Cask.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know. I've been holding on to this one for months for you. They sent me this, I think, like just at the end of the year, and I've been holding it all this time just for you.
I appreciate that.
I enjoyed watching him drink it.
So did I. But again, it's that masochist.
I said I was a masochist. No, that's pretty much sadism. I enjoyed the torture.
I can never get those two straight, which one is which. Yeah. Well, anyway, so we're going to have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
All right. One sip.
Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. This disgusting.
That was terrible, and it's still the best one he's done so far. I will give him that.
Yeah. Two sips.
Nice, but what else do you have?
Nah, he's losing it.
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips.
Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Not buying any better. Nope.
Four sips.
Let's keep the secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
No.
You're almost getting there. I mean, I'm rooting for you.
He's close.
I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, he's on the path. He's just not there.
Five sips.
Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Right in the toilet.
Right. Oh, my.
Right in the toilet.
Oh, my. I was unaware it could be that bad.
It's like the high diver who misses his mark and hits his head on the way down.
Flop.
He doesn't hit the target in the little kiddie pool. He hits the edge of the little kiddie pool.
No, dude. He hit his head on the edge of the board on the way down.
And it's just, yeah.
That's what happens when you backflip before your belly flop.
Well, let's get to our first whiskey, and we're going to have Brent tell us all about that one.
Thanks, Bob. The Glendullen Distillery was established in 1897 by William Williams, an Aberdeen blender and whiskey broker.
I feel like white people need more names.
Yeah.
Sorry.
In 1919, he merged with the Greenlee brothers to create McDonald, Greenlee's, and Williams Distillers, which was itself absorbed by Distillers Company Limited, or DCL, in 1925. DCL became United Distillers in 1986 and then became Diageo in 1997. The original distillery was rebuilt in 1962, and in 1972, a second distillery was built next door, and both were run together until 1985, when the original distillery was closed. The second distillery, previously referred to as Glendullen II, continues to operate to this day. So this first whiskey we're going to be trying is Singleton of Glendullen. It's a 12-year single malt Scotch whiskey. It's 40% ABV, that's 80 proof. The Singleton brand is actually manufactured in three Scottish whiskey distilleries, Dufftown, Glen Ord, and Glendullen. And Glendullen has been making the Singleton brand since 2007. This expression is aged primarily in ex-bourbon casks with some European oak casks. So the color on this is a nice light straw finish. On the nose, it's just, the nose is just like a little fruit bomb. You get like that vanilla comes through. You get some cherries come through, a little bit of nuttiness on it. It's beautiful. It's really nice nose. And on the palate, same thing. You get, oh yeah, you get a little, the thing that pops out of me right away is I get a little bit of lemon peel, and then I get some fruits that just follow behind it with some pears and bananas, a little bit of a cinnamon, but it's nice. Overall, this is a nice pleasure. The finish is not very long. It's just like a medium finish, nice mouth coating. Overall, a nice pleasant whiskey to start off our day.
Yeah, this thing is a fruit salad. On the nose. I mean, it's just a huge tropical fruit bomb. It's like a big bowl of fruit salad. Yummy, yummy. Sorry, I had kids. What a Wiggles reference. Come on. Your kid's not that old.
My kid's nine, so we've not been exposed to the Wiggles. Because, your kids are much older.
Horrible person, you.
So I'm just thankful based on what I've heard from you.
Oh, yeah, it's... Don't get me wrong.
Although she's got YouTube on her.
I'd put one of those long sleeve t-shirts on in a heartbeat if I thought I could make that much money. Lord have mercy. Yeah, a bath towel at the last concert I took the kids to was like $60. I'm like, wow.
So Brent, this is good old boy Harmeet, in case people don't know.
They can tell by his disdain.
Yeah. I agree with you, but it's 80 proof. So that's my only qualm with this whiskey.
Well, I think it's an entry level. They want it for the masses. I think they want it for the masses.
I agree. I don't think there's anything wrong with 80 proof.
I'll give you this. Because it's at 80 proof, they don't pay the tariffs and the taxation that they do over 80 proof. And this retail is right around $30.
Yeah.
So it's
for the money.
This is killer for the money.
Yeah,
this is delicious for the money. It is very nice. It's very easy to drink. It's just nicely made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a $3,000 whiskey. Yeah. But it drinks well above its price point.
It's not stopping the clock, but it gets you where you need to go. It's extremely well done for the money.
But there's another great problem. Value. There's another problem. I'm going to bring it up. There's three distilleries.
Oh, we know what the problem is. He's sitting to my right.
Yeah, there's three distilleries that make Singleton.
Mm-hmm.
We have all tasted Singleton Glen Ord, which they do not bring to America except like once a year.
Mm-hmm.
The Glen Ord is beyond
what
we get here.
The Glen Ord is...
Oh, wow. The Glen Ord
is from another planet.
And the stuff that they released, like last year's special release from Diageo, the Glen Ord at cask strength. I mean, sell your kids for that one.
But again, a wholly different, you know, they're just sharing the first name. Completely different whiskey, completely different distillery. Right. I mean, for the money, this is a great pour.
I still don't understand why they call three different distilleries the Singleton.
They do it to make you mad. Is it working?
They do. They're making me mad.
It's succeeding.
Success.
Yeah, success. What do you think, Justin?
I think that is definitely an added bonus.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of get the fruit bowl you guys are talking about, but I get my aunt's potpourri too.
It is the one you hit when you go through the front door. Walk past the bedroom and potpourri bomb.
Yeah. It's not that floral, really.
I'm getting it.
I'm getting more what he said, the vanilla and the fruit.
Agree.
The water definitely tones down the
floral. I didn't even try it.
Floral.
It's 80 proof already. Put water.
No, a little, couple little drops of water.
Here, give me the water bottle.
Not for the heat, but for the opening.
To open it up. I got gotcha.
Flavors.
Hey, you know, I say the same thing.
I know. It did nicely.
No, it's got a candy note to it. The fruit really shines through.
It is candy.
That there's a big boost on the palate after you swallow. The tongue just tingles with a lemon zest on it. It's just a really good.
Both of you said lemon zest. I get more apple and pear than lemon.
Yeah, I get the lemon after I swallow it. Yeah. But overall, you know, an excellent whiskey. So we're going to be rating the Glendullen, Singleton Glendullen, 12 years, single malt scotch whiskey. A well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So let's go on and have Justin tell us about our next one.
So we're going to talk about Glenmorangie, A Tale of the Forest, single malt whiskey. It's 46% alcohol by volume or 92 proof. And no, I did not do the math. Some years ago.
That's why it's right.
Right. Correct. Some years ago, while walking in the woods, Dr. Bill Lumsen, master of whiskey creation at Glenmorangie, recalled.
Glenmorangie.
What he said. Recalled how ancient Highland whiskey makers dried their barley with all kinds of forest fuel. He began experimenting by kilning his barley with many different botanicals, finally selecting juniper berries, birch bark, and heather flowers, married with a little peat. And we'll talk more about it after the break.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Before the break, we were talking about Glenmorangie, A Tale of the Forest.
Glenmorangie.
Glenmorangie.
There you go.
Rhymes with orangey.
Tale of the Forest single malt whiskey. And Dr. Bill Lumsen aged the spirit made from this barley in a large portion of refill ex-bourbon casks to allow the spirit's flavors to come forward. Now, this really did accomplish its title. It really does taste like you're drinking the forest floor, but in a pretty good way. You got like all these different woods and earth, and it's pretty darn cool. What did you think, Maury?
I thought this was a really interesting whiskey. I think that the nose really gets you excited and really reminds us of the forest and the floor. I didn't feel like the palate followed through quite as nicely. For me, I was expecting great things from this whiskey, complexity, layers, and it was just there for me. It definitely has some unusual flavors, but I just felt like everything was a little bit muted. Harm, what did you think?
Maury, I love pretty much everything Dr. Lumsden does. Every time he's in Florida, I try to hang out with him.
Dr. Bill's awesome.
Yes, it's this one. I feel like this is a swing and a miss. He put juniper in a whiskey. Well, he didn't put in the whiskey. He used toasted juniper to malt the barley. That's gin. Gin and whiskey together don't go. I don't know. I smell the pine. I smell the juniper. I get a little bit of mint. But overall, it's that he used a little bit of peat as well. I get some campfire. It's a geek's whiskey. It's interesting, but it was a swing and a miss for me. And yeah. This is one of the few I don't like by this.
Yeah, definitely a geek whiskey. And just like Maury said, the nose gives so much promise. Like you can smell that the forest and stuff. But then you get it. It just doesn't match up on the palate.
It does smell like a forest.
Yeah. So he accomplished that goal, but the flavor profile afterwards didn't really follow.
I get pine.
What I'm going to tell you though is add water.
When you add water,
because the palate.
You're too far away from
Mike. Bob happens to be right. It is a relatively low proof whiskey. It's coming in at 92
but
proof.
But literally a drop.
But a drop or two of water.
It goes from 5 to 9 like that.
Yeah, it really made a big difference in terms of the flavor. It unmasked.
No, I did the water before too, and I'll do it a little bit more. I get peppermint, I get pine, I get clove. It's really interesting, but it's not what I think of when I think of single malt. It's on my shelf.
No, it's definitely not. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's
on my bar to taste. You want to taste something really interesting and weird? This is it.
That's why geek.
But it's interesting.
Geek whiskey. Yeah. You know?
Air very does interesting. It good too, by the way.
Very. And I think that, you know, with all the regular products that you have out there, you kind of, I think he's looking outside the box to get like, well, what else can I put out there that may assume to other people, you know,
I'm getting
as well.
A big finish of juniper right now because I added water.
Yeah. Like, wow. Me too.
Yeah. It just a tiny little bit of water and this thing amps up on the palate. Yeah. It doubles.
It's a long, intense, but weird whiskey.
He's done some really cool. And that the tail of cake was awesome.
Tail of cake was one of my favorite things ever made.
Cake. That was an amazing one.
And
there.
It wasn't
who
like
doesn't
cake
like
flavor.
Cake?
It wasn't like cake flavored vodka where they pour some chemical in it to make it taste like cake. He made it taste like cake.
Yeah. Tail of Winter is great too.
Just blending, like wow, yeah. Tail of Winter was also awesome. This one is very interesting. I mean, it's cool. It's not.
It's a geek's whiskey.
We're geeks. It is not a classic Highland single malt in any way, shape, or form, but it is very, very interesting.
I think the birch does something on that smoke. There's some, it's not just peat. There's some birch bark here. And those heather flowers. It's so interesting on the nose, but the palate just didn't match up even with the water.
I agree with Harm.
Yep, definitely.
Well, kids, what do we give it?
We're gonna be rating it 2 sips.
All right.
Well, isn't that nice?
So let's move on to the next one. We're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. Founded in Dufton, Scotland, by William Grant, Glenfiddich first ran from the stills on Christmas Day, 1887. It became the first single malt whiskey to be promoted outside of Scotland and is one of the few single malt distilleries to remain entirely family-owned and is still produced in the same distillery which William Grant and his children hand-built. So this is the Glenfiddich 12-year-old sherry cask finish single malt whiskey, 43% ABV or 86 proof for those who mathematically challenged. The Glenfiddich 12-year-old sherry cask finish is matured in a traditional American and European oak casks before finishing in rare Amontillado sherry casks. Amontillado sherry is from the Spanish sherry region of Jerez and is characterized as being darker than Fino and lighter than Oloroso. Amontillado is also considered to be one of the four major dry sherries, but still displays sweet notes like hazelnuts and caramel. Amontillado is a sherry caster produced for the whiskey industry are known to be extremely rare, representing only 1.8% of all sherry produced. This special edition is the first Glenfiddich to ever be finished in Amontillado sherry casks. And how many more times can I say Amontillado? That's a lot of Amontillado.
I don't know. Say it again.
Didn't Edgar Allan Poe...
The cask of Amontillado.
The cask of Amontillado. There you go. Oh, so wow. The color on this.
You're showing off your worldliness.
There you go. I actually like Amontillado sherry. We did a sherry show last year, and Amontillado is the hardest one to sell because it's not sweet enough for some people, and for people who want bone-dry fino, it's not dry. But I find it wonderfully balanced. I had some friends, relatives in from Mumbai in this past week, and we went down to Jose Andreas' restaurant in Miami, and we finished with a sherry pairing and a cheese course. And the Amontillado
was the winner.
With the right cheeses was the winner. Although I did prefer the Fino, and and my cousin, who's a big Scotch drinker, Oloroso was his finished. It was his favorite. But the consensus, Amontillado, give it a chance, give it with the right food. But here, even better, put it in this whiskey. The color is a red gold, and the nose is fresh and fruity with lots of pear. I mean, I think they say a hint, but I get pears and dried fruit and like apricots. And I mean, there's something sweet here, like a cakeish thing. And it's got clove and cinnamon, just a little bit, just a hint. But when you drink it, the clove and cinnamon and a little bit like other spices come out even more on the palate.
I got fruity pebbles and cocoa puffs.
And I will give you that, dude.
With, you know, milk. Really?
I don't know about
you
the cocoa puffs.
One's crazy and the other swears by it.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know about the cocoa puffs, but the fruity pebbles.
If you mix them together.
There's a little hint of chocolate here.
With a kick, you know.
Yeah. I get a lot of apple and almond.
Don't serve this whiskey to your children for breakfast, please.
Yeah, please don't.
With fruity pebbles? Yeah, no.
Unless your children are over 21, then help yourself.
But the cocoa's there. It's more on the finish, and I feel more like it's oak. And adding water actually brings more of those cocoa pebbles or cocoa puffs.
Yeah.
I hate myself for even saying that. Why'd I do this? Why am I sitting next to you?
I hate you for saying that.
Oh, God.
Because I'm keeping it real.
Then again,
Did
I really need that reason?
Oh, then you take it. Will you tell me what you got? You got
That's what I got.
Fruity pebbles and cocoa
puffs. Yeah.
He's done. He's already said
seven
words. I
have a lot of words, you know.
What do you think, Maury?
Well, you know, I'm speechless. Brent, what do you think?
I enjoyed this one. This one is nice to drink, pleasant on the palate, nice creaminess to it. There's all that fruitiness to it. You know, if I was going to buy a scotch, this could be one that I buy.
I agree.
If I ever wanted to buy one.
Beautiful. This, to me, is a beautiful,
I'll not be seeing this in any Monday at your house.
Not quite entry level, but I would say near entry level. Just, you know, for somebody who's novice in the scotch world, this is a beautiful whiskey to introduce you. It just draws you right in to the sherry. It's a beautiful whiskey.
One crass commercial note I got to mention. This is not the regular Glenfiddich 12-year-old. When you go to the liquor store, or especially come to my liquor store, there's two different 12-year-old Glenfiddichs on the shelf. The regular 12-year-old and then the sherry cask, which is in a red canister. It is distinctly different from the original entry level.
It is.
It's a couple bucks more, but not much. Bob, what do you think?
I think this is the best thing that Glenfiddich's come out with in the last, 5 years at least. I think this is a welcome addition to their main product line. It is a fantastic whiskey for the money. I applaud their use of the Amontillado cask because I do like Amontillado more.
Nice to sneak a couple more of those Amontillados in.
Well, I like it. Honestly, I like it better than Oloroso.
We've now exceeded the Vegas line.
And I like it better than Fino.
Congratulations to all the winners.
It's more... Earthy is more complex than, say, a Fino.
It's drier. I love Oloroso.
But
that's
it's
what
not,
most Scotch people
it's
use.
Also not Oloroso's. This one I find more complex. But the whiskey here is absolutely fantastic. It's so well done. It's, you know, sometimes cask finishes can just cover up a whiskey, but this just lifts it up and elevates the whiskey.
And I'm very happy they went above the 80 proof and did 86. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing
You'd
to do.
You'd be crying if it were 80.
I know, because it would be weak. This is just nice.
It's just pears on the nose.
I would like, you know what I want? I want them to release this at cast strength. That'd
be fun.
Yeah. This at cast strength would
that'd be fun.
Bomb.
As we say in the hobby, Ben, just buy it now.
Yeah, this, I think they've got a winner on their hands. I was lucky enough to do an interview and try this with Dave, who's their West Coast brand ambassador. And this is a winner. They've done an incredibly good job on it. And I will drink this. You bet your rear end on that one. So we're going to be rating the Glenfiddich 12-year sherry cask, a well-deserved 4 sips.
We can say butt on this show, right? Like sherry butt.
I like big butts. I cannot lie.
You can only say butt as contextualized by a barrel.
Oh, I see.
Oh, well, that's what I was talking about.
Pork butts are off limit.
I like big butts. Oh. And I cannot lie. Exactly.
No pork butts on this show.
Okay, Bob. Why don't you tell us about the next one?
You can say butt like Harm's nickname is Butthead. So you know. Well, our next whiskey is from the Dalmore. So the Dalmore, we've done a few of their whiskeys over the years on the show, but they were founded in 1839 by Alexander Matheson. Matheson was a partner in Jardine Matheson, which was a trading firm that controlled exports of opium to China.
Yeah.
Everybody's first billion was sketchy, you know?
The distillery was purchased by the McKenzie family in 1878, and then from 1917 to 1920, they closed the distillery and used it to manufacture mines for the First World War, for the war effort.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, well, that's it pretty much blew the building mostly down. Yeah. So they spent a couple of years after the war putting it back together.
Colonial oppression with drug trade and arms manufacturer. I'm down, man. Let's do it.
So
thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that. Appreciate that. So 1922... they resumed making spirit. In 1960, the McKenzie family sold the distillery to White & Mackay, who was one of their best customers, who bought a lot of their whiskey for their blends. White & Mackay currently, it's went through a few owners, but currently it's owned by Imperador of the Philippines. So our first whiskey is the Dalmore 14-year-old single malt whiskey. It's 43.8% ABV, 87.6 proof. This is the newest addition to Dalmore's core product line. It was initially aged in bourbon casks, and then 40 to 60%, it varies, of the whiskey is finished for about 2 years in hand-selected Pedro Jimenez casks from the House of Gonzalez Baez, and that's pretty much where all their sherry casks come from. Then it is blended back into the remaining whiskey to make this expression. This is the first expression from Dalmore to be finished in Pedro Jimenez casks. So you've got a beautiful burnt bronze color on this with honestly a little bit of almost orangey ring to it. On the nose, it's just honey, a little bit of raisins,
a little orange zest,
almost a minty coolness in the tip of the nose, and on the palate, on the palate, absolutely lovely. I get hazelnuts. I get roast coffee beans. Get that cocoa, dark chocolate.
Get that little hint of maple syrup in there.
There's a little bit of maple syrup in the center of the palate.
And I didn't get the honey earlier either. I got dates and like figs.
And then I get that orangey on the back palate. So absolutely beautiful whiskey. What do you think, Brent?
I like how they did this with the 40 to 60%, where they didn't do the whole entire barrel. It's a neat concept when you think about it, because they left the core product, and they just aged some of it in the Pedro Jimenez, and then they brought it back and put it back with the original product. I think if they'd have done the whole thing, first off, 2 years would have been too long for the whole barrel. Yeah,
they could have shortened it.
Yeah, they could have shortened it and stuff. But I love the concept that they did with this. And it really worked. You know, when it came through and it really worked.
Bob was always talking about unbalanced whiskeys. You can take a wine finish and overwhelm the whiskey.
Yeah, you cover it like paint.
Right. No. And this is the opposite.
This is exactly what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I think there was more than one way they could have accomplished this. They certainly could have aged the whole batch, but for a much lesser time than 2 years, or they aged a roughly 50%. And for 2 years, and then gently blended it in.
But this is Richard Patterson, the nose,
yeah,
the king of the blenders. So taking it and putting it in there for 2 years and then taking that liquid and then blending it to the prior. Yeah, yeah.